How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into our broadcast again this week, and we're looking here at Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. And when they came nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And so I've left Jericho, heading towards Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is there on the west side of the Mount of Olives, and Bethpage and Bethany are over on the southeast side of the Mount of Olives. And at that point, before he comes to Jerusalem, but at these two cities that are in suburbia Jerusalem, if you will, or outside of Jerusalem, he takes two of his disciples and he sends them with a mission. He gives them something to do. He saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And so he tells him, he says, go into the village. He said, go into this next village, and you're going to find this colt. And no man has ever ridden on this colt. And bring him. I want you to bring him. And if anybody asks you, why are you doing this? You just say that the Lord has need of him, and he'll let you take him. And so, it's interesting that there's something at hand here. There's a difference that's at hand. And until recent times, and the Lord blessed, with some messages that were preached here recently that I heard, I just never really understood about the import and the thing that's happening here, okay, with this account. And so the Lord, he's directing this to be done. It's not something that's just come about. It's not something that the disciples have decided to do, but the Lord is directing in this thing that's going to come to pass. And so they went their way, verse 4, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And so they find the colt, as the Lord had said, and they untie him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you, ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. What was that? So, well, the Lord has need of him. And they said, okay. And so they go there, and sure enough, the colt is there. And then there's fellas standing around there, maybe even some of them owners of the colt. We really don't know, but they're standing there. And as the disciples, the two brethren, untie the colt, they say, why are you untying the colt? They say, well, the Lord's got need of him. And they said, okay. And so there's, and I've never seen this before, but there is a thought here that there's someone of station and position that's needing this animal, which truly there is someone of station and position in there. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the creator, king, savior, judge. He's everything. He's the manifestation of God, of God in the flesh. And if he's got need of him, he's got need of him. Now, those men may have thought that it was some other authority there in the cities, or in the region, possibly, because that wouldn't be out of place for a one that was of authority or position, if they had need of something that the people had, for them just to commandeer it. It was that way. The Romans would commandeer things, being the government there in Israel at this time. And so they say, well, the Lord has need of him. They say, okay, good enough. And they let him go. Verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And so they get there, and we don't know if it's at the directive of the Lord or they just understand that the Lord's going to ride. And you know what? What's implied here is the Lord never has ridden. But now the Lord's going to ride. His feet aren't going to touch the road and the ground as he walks this route. Coming into Jerusalem from the east, he's going to ride. And those of authority and those of wealth and those of honor, they're the ones that ride. And our Lord is going to ride. And the thing is, they cast their garments upon the colt. And they're making it more pleasant for the Lord to ride. And they're a kind of adorning, and no doubt maybe some of these clothes and garments were colorful, and they're kind of shrouding the animal in this, and Jesus doesn't stop them. He doesn't stop them from doing this. And it says here that ultimately he sat upon him. And then it goes on to say in verse number 8, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, the palm trees, and strawed them in the way, we understand, because they would lay flat. They're actually making others, when there was no room for their garments upon the colt, they began to put their garments on the ground. And we have this term about the saying about rolling out the red carpet. We roll out the red carpet for those that are highly esteemed, that we would welcome, that would be coming to visit us and spend time with us. And here they're not rolling out the red carpet, but they are providing a carpet for even the beast that the Lord is riding upon to travel. And you know what that would do? That would hold the dust down, wouldn't it? If it was dry at that time, it would hold the dust down. If it was wet, it would provide some barrier between that and the ground. And those that didn't have clothes or sought to do otherwise, they cut palm branches down and laid them in the way to make a carpet. To make a carpet for our Lord to make this trip. The Lord Jesus had told many when he had healed, he said, don't tell anybody. When there was an occasion where his healing had been so prolific and the people were so touched by it, I'm thinking around maybe John chapter 6 or 5 or so, that they desired, there was a stirring and a moving among the people that they would take the Lord and make him king. And what did he do? He departed out of their midst. But it's different this time, isn't it? The Lord is allowing some things that have never been done. An animal that had never been ridden upon. How is it with a colt that has never been ridden upon? Even a donkey, or for sure a donkey, would need to be broken to bear a burden, but there seems to be no issue with the colt upon which no man had ever ridden. And you know what? That's the way it was. No man had ever ridden upon him. We know that. We can know that and believe that. And so they put their clothes on the colt, they put their clothes on the ground, they put palm branches in the way. And then something else here in verse 9, and they that went before and they that follow cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, they cry. They cry Hosanna. If my memory serves me correctly, Hosanna means, oh, save. Maybe it's come to the point, and probably so, that the disciples and others there that trooped along with the Lord Jesus Christ, that this would be the time that he would rise up as king. They thought that this would be when he would come in and he would begin his rule as Messiah had been prophesied, and as they did believe that Messiah would come and rescue Israel, that they thought this was it. And they cried, Hosanna, oh save he that cometh in the name of the Lord, the Son of David, son of King David. Blessed, verse 10, be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So they most likely believe that this is it. And you know what? Jesus doesn't stop it. Jesus does not stop it. Verse 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And so this whole thing continued on from Bethany, Bethpage, out there to the east, and maybe outside of those towns, all the way along that road, all the way in through Jerusalem, as the crowd grew larger and declared louder and more about this, about Jesus. And you know what? He allows it. He, if you will, and it's meet, it's suitable, he basks in it. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, verse 11, and into the temple. So he went all the way into Jerusalem, all the way to the temple. And we had looked around about upon all things. And now the eventide was come. It was late in the day. He went out into Bethany with the 12. He does go in. It tells us in other accounts that he, and it's kind of combined. It's going to tell us here he's going to go back in and purge the temple. And so he goes in and he looks around at the things that are there. It says in verse number 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. And so that seems to be the next day. And these things, as he looked around and saw, no doubt the zeal of the Lord and the Spirit of God within him began to churn. But as he comes into the city, nothing more is done. And don't you know, the disciples wonder. But you know what? There's no one more deserving of this kind of accolade and this kind of praise, and he's worthy of a greater entrance than this. But he is the king. He is your king. He is my king. I don't claim Jesus. I don't claim the salvation that you talk about. I don't need this gospel that you talk about. Doesn't matter. He is still your king. And one day you will face him face to face. Are you ready? Sinner, if you're here under the hearing of my voice, I beg you, repent of your sins. Your sins against this Savior, your sins against God, and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He has come as Savior. One day he is coming soon as King. Are you ready to meet him? Let's see, their time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmsteadbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.